If I'd stayed with the old man, none of this would have happened, I said. Would it? I could smell Staub clearly now, the needle-sharp smell of the chemicals and the duller, blunter stink of decaying meat, and wondered how I ever could have missed it, or mistaken it for something else.
Hard to say, Staub replied. Maybe this old man you're talking about was dead, too.
I thought of the old man's shrill handful of glass voice, the snap of his truss. No, he hadn't been dead, and I had traded the smell of piss in his old Dodge for something a lot worse.
Anyway, man, we don't have time to talk about all that. 5 more miles and we'll start seeing houses again. 7 more, and we're at the Lewiston city line, which means you have to decide now.
Decide what? Only I thought I knew.
Who rides the bullet and who stays on the ground? You or your mother?
He turned and looked at me with his drowning moonlight eyes. He smiled more fully, and I saw most of his teeth were gone, knocked out in the crash. He patted the steering wheel.
I'm taking one of you with me, man. And since you're here, you get to choose. What do you say?
You can't be serious, rose to my lips. But what would be the point of saying that, or anything like it? Of course he was serious, dead serious. I thought of all the years she and I had spent together. Alan and Jean Parker against the world. A lot of good times, and more than a few really bad ones. Patches on my pants and casserole suppers. Most of the other kids took a quarter a week to buy the hot lunch. I always got a peanut butter sandwich or a piece of bologna rolled up in day-old bread, like a kid in one of those dopey rags-to-riches stories. Her working in God knew how many different restaurants and cocktail lounges to support us. The time she took the day off work to talk to the ADC man, her dressed in her best pantsuit, him sitting in our kitchen rocker in a suit of his own, one even a 9-year-old kid like me could tell was a lot better than hers, with a clipboard in his lap and a fat, shiny pen in his fingers, her answering the insulting, embarrassing questions he asked with a fixed smile on her mouth, even offering him more coffee because if he turned in the right report, she'd get an extra $50 a month. A lousy $50. Lying on her bed after he'd gone, crying. And when I came in to sit beside her, she had tried to smile and said ADC didn't stand for AIDS-dependent children, but awful damn crapheads. I had laughed, and then she had laughed too, because you had to laugh. We'd found that out. When it was just you and your fat chain-smoking ma against the world, laughing was quite often the only way you could get through without going insane and beating your fists on the walls. But there was more to it than that, you know. For people like us, little people who went scurrying through the world like mice in a cartoon, sometimes laughing at the assholes was the only revenge you could ever get. Her working all those jobs and taking the overtime and taping her ankles when they swelled and putting her tips away in a jar marked Alan's College Fund. Just like one of those dopey rags-to-riches stories, yeah. And telling me again and again that I had to work hard. Other kids could maybe afford to play Freddy fuck around at school, but I couldn't because she could put away her tips until doomsday cracked and there still wouldn't be enough. In the end, it was going to come down to scholarships and loans if I was going to go to college. And I had to go to college because it was the only way out for me. And for her. So I had worked hard. You want to believe I did. Because I wasn't blind. I saw how heavy she was. I saw how much she smoked. It was her only private pleasure. Her only vice, if you're one of those who must take that view. And I knew that someday our positions would reverse and I'd be the one taking care of her. With a college education and a good job, maybe I could do that. I wanted to do that. I loved her.